Welcome to Binary Jazz again. Here we are, another day, another week. Welcome. It is a podcast. We're doing the Quiet Storm intro.
No,
we're not doing that.
I'm not down with that one. Let's just go. I'm 100 miles an hour already. I'm not Spider-Man.
I watched another Spider-Man movie, and there's just so many of them, you know?
Which, was it a Tobey Maguire, or was it a someone else?
No, it was...
the other guy.
I think it's Tom Holland. Is that a name?
Sure.
What's
a name?
It's like the... I was going to say, he's the young, dorky Spider-Man. I'm like, they're all
young and dorky, yeah. Yeah, I was reading a thing recently that was talking about, like, why isn't Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man anymore? And turns out he's a real asshole.
He's a real jerk.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. And you think, like, it's funny because, like, there are these actors who have, like, these faces that you maybe associate with their characters, and their characters are, like, either so nice or so sweet or whatever. So you just assume the person is like that. And then you find out that person's a real, like, shitstorm. Yeah, it's a little bit surprising.
Yeah, no, I know a few people, acquaintances who have worked with him and like in admin capacities, and he's not very nice.
Wow. What is that? I mean, I guess it gets you a starring role in a superhero movie, but other than that, what does that get you in life?
Well, doesn't get you the...
He doesn't get a starring role in the superhero movie anymore because they
don't want to work with him. Yeah, but how many of those do you actually need to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, he hasn't gotten many roles.
I heard of it after one, after half of one. I'd be like, this is
my understanding is he's just been a little bit blacklisted before being an asshole recently, and instead doesn't give a shit and is just going to play poker all day.
Seems about right. Yeah. I think he either had or has a production company of his own at some point. Anyway,
yeah, he's probably past
talking
the point
way where, too much about.
He's probably past the point where it matters.
He's not even thinking about us, you guys.
Yeah, I'm not giving him the headspace. I am not Spider-Man, despite mowing the lawn the other day, walking under, like, brushing into a tree, and then being bit here and here and here and here and here until I found the thing in my shirt. And they all made, like, big... Can I say juicy welts, or is that too...
Yeah, yeah, you can say it.
I mean, I just said it, so... By couching it with the can I say, like, I tried to soften the blow.
It's too early.
Yeah, but I'm like, Rhonda's like, oh, like, do you need to do anything about it? And I'm like, I mean, probably not, no. Like, I guess if it gets worse, like, maybe we should do something, but it didn't get worse, and I didn't develop any cool superpowers, so. Overall, spider bite review, like, would not recommend.
No. I mean, but maybe you just haven't discovered the powers yet.
I keep checking my wrists, and.
But maybe those aren't the powers you got. Maybe you got something else, like. I don't know.
more regular. Oh, I was thinking like in those superpower, it'd be like more consistent knife cuts in the kitchen. Like that. If that's what comes out of this, well, okay, that's a fair trade. I cut some vegetables sometimes that I'm like, dang, like what the hell happened? I start with a carrot and they're very uniform. By the time I get the end of the carrot, like I'm feeding a damn horse or something. Like, here's a chunk, whatever, you'll deal with it. Like, what? Have we covered what we're doing here? Have we done
no?
Did I just jump into being Spider-Man?
We just skipped all that stuff.
An asshole.
Yeah, usually what happens is someone comes with a topic and the rest of us sort of discuss the topic and try to make it seem like we know what we're talking about.
That's
when often
not true
we don't.
At all. We got to preview the show. A topic shows up. We talk about whatever the hell we want to anyway, and occasionally mention the topic.
And
just like that.
I don't know if we have a topic today, but I do have a sailing quiz.
I have a topic, but I'm always willing to give up the captain's seat for a quiz.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was strong.
Well, I think that we should have a topic. I don't know that we should do the sailing quiz for the entire time.
Okay.
As a land lubber, I appreciate that you were quick on your feet there. Sea legs. I don't know. I'm reaching.
I get very seasick, so I'm
sea legs.
Forward.
Sea legs are a real thing. I felt like when we got home from our cruise, I felt for like 2 or 3 days like I was still on the boat. I mean, it wasn't so much that I was like stumbling around the the house or anything, but it definitely felt like everything was moving just a little bit.
I did a 3-day canoe trip when I was younger, like pretty much like all day on the river, get out in time to like cook dinner, set up a tent. And I vividly remember laying down like and like just the feeling of that little canoe under my butt was still there while I was laying on firm sand. I should go canoeing. I'm gonna buy it. There's so much weird stuff available on Craigslist stuff here. I'm gonna buy a very bizarre canoe and take it to a lake.
You can go portaging. Is that what it's called?
Portaging.
Yeah. Maybe that should have been my topic.
I believe that is carrying your paddling vessel over land, which, like, I'm not down with that. Like, it's made to float. Like, carrying it seems like an awful lot of work.
No, but you're like, you go down the river and then you carry it to another river and keep going. I don't know.
I guess if I had a destination, that would be cool. But honestly, like, I just want to throw it in somewhere and remember where I parked the car and come back to roughly that spot at a reasonable amount of time before I get too tired to remember where I parked. Like, that's my threshold is much lower than the kind of person that would be like, I am taking this over to another river. Nope. That's one too many rivers for my liking. Perhaps more than one. You have to do it multiple times.
There's a reference in our household that I think has something to do with either like SCTV or Kids in the Hall. And it's so very Canadian references. and it's like a man who got struck by lightning when he was portaging. So now he's like a canoe man. He's like half canoe and half man. Anyway, this is because Robin was like, don't you remember? I was like, this is not something that I grew up with.
I love this idea. Like, he's like a what's the half human, half horse thing?
I'll find the clip and send it to you. He has like a theme song and everything.
Wow. I love this concept. Like torso and then canoe behind. Although I would be concerned that the torso would be heavy and I would be like leaning forward.
Leaning over. Well, it's not a good posture situation, though.
No, but would it be equal canoe halves out of my front and back, because that also seems uncomfortable. Well, perhaps I'm overthinking this. Okay.
And you can do a live Twitter review.
I almost tweeted. Oh, it was something stupid. Never mind. What's the topic? It's not canoes.
The topic I'm gonna have to spell.
Great.
That's always
a good start.
Yes.
I mean, you have to spell anyway.
Yeah, but I'll definitely have to spell this. It's COPS. COPSE.
I knew it off the top. COPSE. COPS.
Okay, what does it mean?
Like a small nook, like a small woodland nook.
Copse is obviously a
that's not right corpse. That's not right because there can be like a copse of trees, a little woodland pocket. That's the same damn thing I just said.
You're like, I changed my answer to this thing.
I feel like I have one of those in my backyard that I could go copse to.
So these. You've heard it before though. I can hear it.
Okay. Oh wait, that's actually what it is.
No, but he used it in a sentence.
Yeah.
But wait, correctly though? Is that the part I missed?
A copse of trees is a real thing. That is the context in which I have probably heard it. I do not necessarily know what that means.
What would that mean?
a small grouping of trees, a collection.
Yeah, I think more specifically, it is trees that are grown in a circle around where there was previously a tree where seeds fell, right? So the parent tree is now gone, but you have this circular shape. No?
Is it that specific? I don't think it's that specific.
That's I'm doing a riddle right ring. Now because it is a small group of trees.
Which is exactly what you should go for.
So saying a copse of trees though is
redundant.
Is redundant. Yeah. I did want to point that out, but that's okay.
But
if you were saying the kind of tree, it wouldn't be redundant.
A copse of pineapple trees. What?
Pineapple trees.
That was fun. Is there a number? I mean, like, I could definitely see in my head, like, a half dozen would feel like a copse, but would, like, 100 in the midst of the plains also be considered a copse?
Forest.
But in the midst of the plains where you have nothing else to run for miles and miles, could that still be a copse because it's surrounded by nothing?
That would be a forest.
How many copses per forest?
Many copses.
Copses. Yeah, what's the possessive of copse? Copses.
Well, there's another word.
Why would trees possess anyway? That's
trees
stupid.
Do not possess things.
Well, what is bigger than a copse? A wood. A wood is larger than a grove or a copse.
Larger than a grove.
Oh, wait, a grove?
Copse is a grove, which is smaller than a wood.
Groves can be substantial, though.
Well, I'm just trying to rein in the ratio of what we're working with here.
Dang. I'm just trying to figure out if I can put my backyard a copse or if there's too many trees for that. I don't think I can.
It might be a grove.
And there's also a verb of coppicing, which means to intentionally prune something smaller than what it's supposed to be.
Damn, I'd love to drop that on a manager at some point. I'm my current manager because that's not in a situation, but... Wait, say it again. Coppicing?
Coppicing? C-O-P-P-I-C-I-N-G, I think?
I feel like you're coppicing me in this meeting. But yeah, I'd like to drop that at some point. And then, yeah.
These are all good crossword answers, by the way, which is where it came from originally.
Oh.
I was wondering if because coppicing and the pruning and your recent inquiry into pruning fruit trees, I was wondering if there was a correlation there and it went down this like tree rabbit hole where you discovered copses.
It seems like that would be the case, but no, I was just doing a crossword puzzle.
Are either of you big on like dream interpretation?
Define big on?
I mean, I guess not, like, it's not like a hobby, but like you've done the research or own books or...
So, when I was in the college, there was...
Chris reveals he's written a book on dream interpretation.
No, I did not take the dream. I did not take the dream interpretation class, but my partner at the time did. Mm. And I think Erin did and then dropped it because it was crappy. Maybe she actually took it. I can't remember. She might have actually taken it. But like, so I heard a lot about it, about the practice and what you're supposed to do. And but like the interpreting, I mean, I guess there's different schools, right? Like there is the school that believes that like everything is a specific symbol so that if there's like a silver chalice in your dream, then it definitely means this one specific thing. And then there's the school where it's like, everything is like, you know, whatever, man. And like, it's what it means to you, you know, how did you feel in the moment, man? And
what is the name of this character?
which was the school that this class was. It was not the hard, fast, like this symbol means this thing. It was like, whatever just feels right in the moment, man.
I have several thoughts. The first is completely non sequitur. Allison's lighting is fantastic because it Isn't fades it? On the one side to black, Isn't it? And I've been it's just so enamored good. With it. It like, like, yeah, yeah. So that's number one. If you are listening via
it's
audio,
it's because windows are amazing,
right?
I mean, it's the window, but it's also the color of your wall. Like it's just the way that it sort of just creates this sort of framing. It is lovely.
The wall is doing the heavy lifting here.
I think the phrase you're looking for is big mood.
big mood.
The second thing is like, yeah, I get that on some dream levels that like, well, what are you, what's currently like occupying your conscious and subconscious, and it probably relates to that. Okay, fair. But like there's some like the stereotype drinks, like drinks. Nope, dreams. Like the snake. Oh well, like I saw a snake in my dream and it was coming towards me. Like, okay, well, sure, that probably is not like awesome. But like, does it indicate that, like, you know, something bad is coming, or potentially like a decision or change? Like, it, you know, maybe it's not, I don't know, bad snake. But the other one is like, airports is like a, you know, a big one. So like, I think that like, at some level you'd be like, yeah, it means whatever you think it means, but also like, there's some pretty common metaphors that are, root part of being a human. That
I think there are. I think that it probably varies based on sort of your social cultural expectations. Like the metaphor of an airport, that's a bad.
Doesn't thing. Work if you're an Aborigine.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like it, you yeah. know, like it's going to mean different things. But here's the thing that was like, this was the hard and fast rule with dream interpretation in this class. The one thing that if I, as a non-participant of this class, were to take anything yeah. away, this is the thing to take away, which is like, there, the whole thing was about dream journals. And like, essentially, like as soon as you wake up, as soon as you realize you had a dream, you write it down immediately, write down as many things as you can remember from the dream, including how you felt about them, and then go back to sleep. And then the next day you look at this dream journal, this crazy, wacky thing that you wrote in the middle of the night, and you're like, okay, I was feeling this thing when this thing happened in my dream, and that probably relates to this other thing. Because you're not going to make the connections, like when you wake up 8 hours later, or not 8 hours, because that's not how time works. But like, if you wake up in the morning and you're like, I kind of think I had a dream about airports, and like, I kind of think I felt this way about it. Like there's going to be nuance in there that you will have missed in your waking brain, that you're like just awake out of the dream, half asleep brain would have like had fresh in their mind and would yeah. have possibly like written things that you could interpret later from. And that honestly, that just sounds like a lot of work, which is why, you know, fuck dreams.
Okay, from there, I have two more questions. The first is, what do you know about time that we don't? Because you just said that's not how time works. And I would like
yeah, some illumination. I had a question about that too, because I was like, do you mean that's not how people sleep? Or like,
I meant
time actually does pass while we're asleep. Like, I think yes. we can all agree on that or not.
Like, I meant not, like,
sweet.
When you wake up from in the morning, it will yeah. probably not have been 8 hours since the time that you had the dream. Your dream okay. probably happened between like maybe 2 and 4 in the morning, and then you had some other stuff, and then you kind of tossed a bit. And so you're waking yep. up and you're several hours, but not 8 hours, because maybe yep. that was when you went to bed. That was what Got I meant. It. That's not how okay. time works.
Okay. I do not have a follow-up then.
Okay.
So sadly, I was hoping that we were going to delve into like
the time travel continuum.
I don't even like, I tell the kids, like, kids, we have this, well, you have those like conversations in your house that just like keep happening. Well, it's very easy with kids, like where they ask a question and you're like, have we not covered this? So like time travel is a thing that pops up, and I always, as a dad, have to be like, we are time traveling. It's just 1 second at a time. So like, if you can envision yourself as a time traveler, like in the future, think about all the knowledge you get to bring by being a time traveler from all the seconds that have passed. And imagine how powerful you would be as a time traveler from accumulating all that knowledge. And I keep saying it because, number one, like, I feel like if I say it enough, like, I'll believe it. Because in time travel, like, if you get to go somewhere with knowledge that other people don't have, like, that's awesome. So if I'm time traveling 1 second at a time, like, I'm accumulating knowledge that will be useful for me on my journey. So I guess repeating it, like, maybe helps me believe that. But secondly, like, I kind of believe that, like, you know, we are time traveling. Like, we can't adjust the speed or the direction, but the result of that is very much the story that we're told when we think about time travel, in that you have acquired knowledge along the way that will serve you in your quest, whatever that may be. And that's useful and cool, unless your quest sucks.
Time travel.
But maybe you have enough knowledge to change the quest. I don't know. Should have shaved before this.
No. No.
For your audio podcast?
Yeah. Well, it's getting a little, this gray really bothering me. Maybe I should grow it out and see how gray it is.
I mean,
yeah, I might just shave here. And here.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
No. No. But then I got to do like the hipster, like beard soaps and stuff. Like,
you don't need to.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was just like, there's no requirement. I mean,
yeah.
Rhonda disagrees.
There was a, so we're, again, we're watching Alone, and one of mm-hmm. the contestants on Alone is from Salt Lake City, Utah. We're into season 3, which is in Patagonia. One of them is from Salt Lake City, and he was like, oh, my beard's coming in. And he's like, it's really soft. I'm like, nope, that's not an experience I can identify with. My beard is not soft. I wish.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlotte doesn't like this either. She's like, scratchy face.
Yeah. Know, or probably were aware that I was on a boat for a week. And while on the boat, we made port in a town known as Petersburg, which is an old Norwegian town, an old mm-hmm. Norwegian fishing town in Alaska. And while there, one of the naturalists spoke with some of the sailors, the fishermen there, and acquired a list of sailing superstitions, because sailors are quite superstitious. And I don't have her list, but I did some research after the fact because I wanted to take a sailing superstition quiz to Binary Jazz. So I have a list of things.
Before you start, can I ask another
yes.
question?
Yes.
It's one of those days.
Sure.
Are there other, so you said it's a Norwegian fishing village.
Yeah.
What other kind of Norwegian villages are there? I feel like I've never heard about Norwegian fishing villages. Do they have like Norwegian, like, jam making villages or
Norwegian raiding village?
Yeah, you're right. That's it. So it's like fishing and raiding, but the raiding ones, I guess, just become fishing villages over time.
Not Norwegian, but I know that there's like a like Solvang in California is a that's what like a that's like a Swedish thing. Just like a isn't it? Is it Swedish?
Like Dutch.
Or Dutch. Maybe it's Dutch, yeah.
Ooh, if the next word's pastry, I'm super excited. A Dutch pastry village sounds lovely.
It's not a pastry village. It's just a sort of like historically Dutch town that has lots of, that has like leaned into the Dutch heritage and like.
But there's no like middle word. It's like just Dutch village, Dutch town.
Is
there's
no
middle word.
Is that where the pea soup places?
Anderson's? Maybe. Maybe. No, no.
I'm so glad that you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, obviously.
Is it especially
as
good?
It came out of
soup?
My mouth, I was like, oh no, I've opened up a whole can of worms.
Is it like, why is the pea soup so notable there?
I don't know.
Oh, so it's not like it's like good.
I mean, it is.
I've never had it. I don't know.
It is good. I have had it. I've stopped it at the pea soup, the Anderson's pea soup place. As a kid, I don't know if it exists anymore, but the thing is like, it had like a really iconic sort of design thing with like a sort of a cartoon character, as I recall, like as the like mascot. And so you saw these ridiculously huge signs on the freeway as you drove by. And that I think is the reason why it's memorable more so than the thing. I don't know if that company exists anymore. Cause I remember you could buy Anderson's pea soup in stores and I don't know, like I haven't seen it in like forever. It was like a factory for this soup maker, and then it had like a restaurant attached to it that, you know.
Are you all familiar with south of the border on Interstate 95?
I'm familiar with the United States border and that there are things south of it.
Okay, there's this like kitschy, stupid tourist trap on Interstate 95, right near the South Carolina, North Carolina border. And it's called South of the Border because it's just into South Carolina. It is absolutely ridiculous, but you start seeing signs like 200 miles away and their mascot is this little mouse called Pedro. And it is like, yeah. It's absolutely the exact thing you can expect it would be located in the South. Anyway, I feel like maybe Anderson's pea soup was similar. There was a character that was iconic because it was advertising something all over the interstates or roads or wherever.
Yeah, I think that's...
Anyway, South of the Border, this is not an endorsement. In fact, it is a...
So sailing superstitions. There are many, many, many superstitions that sailors have.
So excited for this one.
So your job, I'm going to give you a thing. It might be an object. It might be a concept. It might be a day of the week. I'm going to give you a thing, and I want you to tell me if this is good luck or bad luck.
Okay.
I'm like, did you notice how our posture changed? We both like, and...
bring it on.
renaming a boat, good luck or bad,
bad luck?
Bad luck.
Yes, it is bad luck to change the name of a boat. If you do, you must have a denaming ceremony and officially christen the boat again.
I know that one because my grandfather bought a sailboat and had a denaming ceremony because it was a stupid name and renamed it.
Foot tattoos. Good luck or bad luck?
I'm going to go good luck.
I'm going to go with... There's always a reason behind, and I'm trying to think of a good reason either way. I'll go bad luck.
When tattooing became popular at sea, a rooster and a pig were often tattooed onto sailors' feet. It was believed that these animals would prevent sailors from drowning by showing them the way to shore. It's good luck. All right.
When I feel silly with my fish tattoo on my foot then.
Personal grooming.
I'm going to go bad luck.
Yeah, I'd be based on the sailors I've seen. Stereotypically, I'll say bad luck.
Yeah, personal grooming is bad luck. Anyone aboard a boat who trimmed their nails, cut their hair, or shaved their beard brought bad luck to the ship.
Whoa, that's...
I'll give you an easy one. Women.
Bad luck.
I want to say good luck, even though I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
Women were bad luck on board because they distracted the crew, which would anger the sea, causing treacherous conditions as revenge. However, conveniently for male crew, naked women calmed the sea, which is why so figureheads were women with bare breasts.
Conveniently.
What the hell?
There's also a thing where if you are born on a boat, that is in fact good luck. You're known as a son of a gun because the only place they had room to deliver babies was the deck that the cannons would be on. And they brought good luck to the sailing ship. There's also let me go down. Where is it? Where's the call one? We'll get to it probably. Maybe. Oh yeah, calls from a newborn was meant to prevent anyone from drowning, and so sailors often would purchase these like placentic items as before a voyage. How about saying good luck, saying the words good luck?
That's bad luck, maybe.
Yeah, this feels like a theater type situation. Like, you don't do that.
Yeah. Some words or sayings brought about bad luck on board, including drowned, goodbye, and good luck. Things to do with the land were believed to be bad luck if mentioned, such as the church, pigs, foxes, cats, and rabbits. Right. That's also
considered. Some of those animals don't. All right.
Yeah. Let's do Thursday.
Bad luck.
Thursday is good luck.
Nope. It's bad luck to set sail on Thursday because Thursday is Thor's day, the god of storms.
Oh.
It's also bad luck to sail on Friday, which is where is Friday? Friday is named after the Norse goddess Frigg or Frigga. So for a while it was good luck, but then in early Christianity, Frigga was considered a witch. Her day became unlucky because it was also the day of the week that Jesus was crucified.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Rough crowd.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
So that like a 4-day weekend if you're a sailor.
Yeah, just don't sail. Yeah. Where can we go? Let's say, stirring tea with a fork.
Okay, first of all, why would you even do it?
Well, it's so obscure, it has to be good luck, because that's something you'd accidentally or like would be like a common thing. So I think you would have to like, oh, pass me that fork, I need to stir my tea.
No, I think it's bad luck.
You use to scoop something into it. Yeah,
I think it's bad luck because it has something to do with like paddles not paddling enough or something.
Oh, or it's like the trident, like,
yeah, stirring tea with anything other than a spoon basically would invite bad luck. Yeah,
and also because you need to do some dish cleaning.
Tossing a sailor overboard and then hauling him back in, good luck or bad luck?
I mean, for the person or just in general?
for the ship, for the voyage. But maybe for the person.
Good luck.
Bad luck.
In fact, that one is good luck. In order to encourage fish to be caught, Scottish fishermen would begin their fishing session by throwing one of the crew members overboard and hauling them back in to, I guess, sort of show the fish how it's done.
Listen up, everybody. Fall in line, fish.
Cats. Good luck or bad luck?
Good luck.
I'm gonna go good luck.
Cats are good luck. Felines were welcomed aboard merchant and navy ships as pets, protectors, pest controllers, and highly intuitive creatures. Sharks, on the other hand.
Well, on the other hand, it sounds like bad luck. But actually,
could be.
They are not intuitive creatures. No, they're very intuitive. I don't know many sharks.
I'm going to go bad luck.
Sharks following a yacht.
There's fish nearby, so that could be good luck.
Sharks following a yacht were considered a symbol of bad luck, thought to be a warning of death, like the Grim Reaper of the sea. We'll continue on the animal train. How about albatross?
I'm making up reasons in my head. And I'm like, oh, so either way, I don't
know. Yeah, good luck. It's good. Albatross is good luck.
Albatross were good luck, a sign of good luck and protection. It was quite bad luck to kill an albatross. That's why in the Rime of the Ancient Mariner, he killed the albatross and he had to wear it around his neck. Seabirds in general were believed to carry the souls of dead sailors. So bad luck to kill one.
Yeah, I would say so.
Dolphins.
Good luck.
They're like cats of the sea.
Yes, like they were like cats of seeing a dolphin is a sign of good luck because they often indicate nearby land.
One of the smartest species in the world, cats of the sea.
They would have been called catfish had that name not already been taken.
Stepping aboard a ship with your right foot.
Oh, dang, I should know this. I don't know why I should know this, but I feel like I should know this. Which foot are you supposed to use? No,
the
I think
left you're supposed side to use your is left the foot. Devil's side.
I think you're supposed to use your left foot to board.
You are not supposed to use your left foot when stepping aboard a ship. That was a trick question. They specifically told us that not to step aboard a ship with your left foot because it was bad luck. I mean, they didn't tell us, like, they said it, like, you know.
If you did it wrong, they threw you overboard for good luck.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
They're like, are you left-handed? Just go sit in the corner.
Unless you have a cat with you, in which case we're all good.
How about flowers? Good luck or bad luck?
Oh, bad luck. Bad luck. There's no flowers at sea.
Good luck. They're used
to decorate when someone dies.
They're
like sharks.
Yep. Flowers are closely related with funerals.
With sharks. That's not what I meant at all.
Flowers closely related to funerals and therefore banned from ships. Superstitious sailors wouldn't even let them on board as a bon voyage gift. Any petals that made it on a ship were quickly thrown overboard.
Bouquet of Sharks is an awesome name for a band.
Bouquet of Sharks. Red Skies.
Red Sky in the morning, Sailor Take Warning. Red Sky at night, Sailor's Delight. There I don't know. Go. It depends what time of day it is.
Yes. What I love about that is I just recited that to myself in my head, and I was like, why do I know?
Yep.
Why do I know that? And what the hell does it mean?
Red Sky at night, Sailor's Delight. Red Sky in the morning, Sailor's Take Warning. It's been used for millennia as a forecasting tool to predict the weather based on the reddish glow of the sky in the morning or dusk, which is caused by hazy or cloudy skies. Sailors believe they could tell what weather was coming their way. Red sky at night, sunlight must be able to cut clearly from the west without any cloudy hindrances, the legend goes, and good weather it will be. But if it's red sky in the morning, clear skies in the east are letting sun break through, which assumes clouds are coming from the west instead and bad weather is on the way.
I also feel like every time I say Sailor's Delight, I'm like, oh no, thanks. I'm thinking veggie tonight. How about Buddha's Delight? Like that sounds a lot more appetizing. I don't know what a Sailor's Delight is, but I would assume that there's a lot of weird seafood.
Weird seafood, yeah.
Yeah.
Spitting.
If it's overboard, good luck. If it's onto the deck, it's bad luck. See, now I'm waffling. I'm just going to take both sides.
Yeah, I was like, that's both. It's not.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I have spitting as good luck. I'm not sure about spitting on deck, but I do know that spitting.
Like I don't think that aside from good luck, bad luck, I don't think that's encouraged.
to bring good luck,
like personal hygiene, though, you know.
To bring good luck, sailors would often spit into the ocean before setting sail for a long journey. They would pour wine on the deck to bring good fortune. Let's see, what else haven't we done? Odd numbers.
Ooh, this is an interesting one.
Probably bad luck.
I am going to go with good luck because
because it's the opposite of what I was.
When setting fishing nets, it was good luck to use an odd number. Good luck.
Any reason why?
I don't have a reason why odd numbers are good luck. They just are. Many of these things just are. Eggshells.
Wait, what were the tattoos? The tattoos were of a
rooster and a pig.
So, rooster makes it tough then. I don't know if eggshells are good luck.
That's what makes it tough.
Right, before I knew it was a rooster, I had a reliable answer. I'm going to say bad luck because of something about like decorating funerals with eggs and flowers. And bouquets of sharks. I don't know. Eggs. Bad luck.
Eggshells had to be broken into tiny pieces once an egg was cracked open. This was meant to stop witches from coming onto the ship to sail in the pieces of the shell. Because that's what witches do.
Ahoy!
They jump into the shell and they sail along with you.
I'm going to Photoshop myself into a little eggshell.
I just thought that, like, I wanted Allison, like, social icon now of Allison, like, in a shell. Like, that. Yep.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.